Good morning and welcome to Old Lion, Young Lion. I am so excited that you're here with us on the airwaves today. We on your local radio station, on YouTube, on everywhere that you can get your podcast, we have Old Lion, Young Lion. My name is Anthony Stafford and my co-host is Samuel Hazelton, and we are part of the pastoral team of Electric City Baptist Church. We meet every Sunday to worship the Lord Jesus Christ in the heart of Schenectady County on 2350 Hamburg Street at Electric City Baptist Church. We'd love for you to come visit us one of these Sunday mornings and hear the Word of God opened and proclaimed. Now, we call our show Old Lion, Young Lion because we work for the greatest lion of all time, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the very Lord Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for all of mankind to receive the forgiveness of their sins if they but place their faith in him. And that's why we do this show. We have many other things on our schedule and calendar and list of things to get done that we could be doing, but instead we want to bring you the great stuff from God's Word. And our show takes its seriousness and its responsibility from the commissioning of the Word of God. We intend to bring out the depth and the deep, wonderful mysteries of God's Word and proclaim them boldly, for the Bible teaches that the righteous are bold as lions. And we here at Old Lion, Young Lion intend to be bold. If you have a question or a comment or a thought, or you want to be part of the lion's den, email us at oldlionyounglion@gmail.com. We will be going to video starting next season, season 4. We're upgrading. We're moving to our own studio, and we're going to be able to come to you live. You'll be able to see our beautiful faces, talk to you about theology and other things about the scripture. So be prepared for September. We are coming to you on video as well as audio. Now, before we even get into today's content, I must tell you about today's sponsor is what looks like a TTBI, Timothy and Titus Bible Institute, and it is kicking off their second semester this spring. And so if you know about TTBI, look them up on Facebook or on Google and join the classes. And make sure if you're signed up, you get there. It's some of the best teaching in the entire Northeast. Timothy and Titus Bible Institute, we thank the president of TTBI for sponsoring today's episode. Sam, before we get into today's content, Old Lion, would you mind just opening us up in a word of prayer?
Yes, indeed. Father, I want to thank you in the name of Jesus for the opportunity to be here today and to broadcast on the radio and on YouTube and throughout the other platforms. Father, I pray today as we tackle this topic of angelology, these divine beings, these heavenly beings that we cannot see generally. Father, help us as we venture into this area, Lord, that you would lead us and guide us, that we might bring forth truth, that we might bring forth redemptive truth rather than speculation. Father, I do ask and pray, Jesus, that every single listener, every single person that's within the sound of our voice would be drawn to the sovereign Lord Jesus, the creator of the angelic beings. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We pray a blessing over all those that are listening. We don't know what you're walking through or what things that you're going through at this point in your life, but we believe that this show is meant to bring you a little bit closer to your creator and to find out about who your savior can be, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we hope that this show does that, and we want you to stick with us through today's interesting topic. So Old Lion, can you tell us where we've been, this topic that we've been doing about theologies, where we've been over the last month or so, a little bit more than that, where we're going a little bit today, and maybe where we're going to be finishing up in the next couple of weeks. Give us a little insight.
So we are coming near to the end. This is our second to last ology that we're covering. We started out, we talked about the theology about God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We shifted from there to man, anthropology, hamartiology, the doctrine of sin. We covered soteriology, the doctrine of salvation. Last week, we covered ecclesiology, the doctrine of the church. And this week, we're venturing into this realm of the heavenly beings, these divine beings, the angelic realm. And the Bible has a lot to say about it. And it is, a lot of it is mysterious, but we're hoping today to bring some clarity, to bring some truth, and to spur your interest in the study of the heavenly realm.
Now, we want to be open about this. As you read your Bible, and as we were researching for today's episode, we noticed an interesting fact, and maybe we take some of this for granted, but the Bible is filled with these supernatural or heavenly creatures, not just angels, but seraphim and cherubim and all kinds of things. And I think we need to be open about the fact that there's a lot about this creation, this realm that we live in, that we really don't know about. And the Bible, even though it holds mysteries, it shouldn't be something that you don't look into, that you don't want to go and discover, but it's a lot more a part of your Bible. The supernatural realm, the spiritual realm, these angelic beings is a lot more part of God's word than maybe you thought it actually was. Maybe you thought that this is just a book to help you deal with your anger, or maybe this is a book just to help you be a little bit better in your life, but actually it's revealing God's mind on a ton of things. And one of them is, what are angels? What's happening with this? And before we even get into this, Old Line, I'd like you just to take 2 minutes, and he shared this testimony at our church before about a time in his life where he had to make a decision to choose the narrow way or go the way of destruction. And can you just give us a quick synopsis of whether this was a night vision, a dream, something that God was showing you in your mind's eye, but you encountered, you might say, what some might call an angel. Can you tell us, just give us 2 minutes about what happened to you that night years ago and how it affected you, and even the lesson that you learned from it?
Yes, I was at a time in my life where I really had kind of walked away from the Lord in my heart and hadn't been serving him, had been chasing the things of this world. And I was awakened in the middle of the night at about 3 a.m. in a dream with the angel of the Lord standing over me with a drawn sword in his hand. And I immediately woke up and was amazed and shocked that I was still alive. And I immediately went to my knees and did business with God. And I told him that I want to get back with him. And I don't know what I have to do, but I was ready. And from that moment on, my life changed dramatically. And it was thanks in part to this encounter with, I don't know if it was part of my dream, I don't know if it was a vision of the night, but I had an encounter that made a difference in the course of my life.
And a lot of people, especially in today's world that's so physically driven, they want so badly for the supernatural portions of scripture to not be true. There's full denominations and churches that are built off the fact that they've glued portions of their Bible pages together and they're skipping over them and they are not reading about what the Bible talks about in this spiritual sense. And so we hear a testimony from Old Line here, and we don't take Old Line's words as if they are the Bible. So then we go to the Bible, and then guess what we find out? That what he's explaining shows up a little bit in scripture. And I want to bring up a few passages before we start breaking down today's lesson. I'm reading in the book of Matthew in chapter number 25, and Jesus is giving this Olivet discourse. He's talking about when he's going to return and what things are going to look like. And you're reading through the teachings of Jesus, and a verse pops up that clues you into something a little bit more deep or interesting is happening. And he says this in Matthew chapter number 25 and verse number 41. He says, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire." And then watch what he says, "prepared for the devil and his angels." So when you're just reading along, wanting to hear about Jesus, you get this really interesting passage of scripture that says that everlasting fire, or the hell that Jesus is talking about, was not created for men. It was not created for women. It was not created for whatever God made on this earth. It was created for the devil and his angels. And that piques your interest. Okay, what's happening here? What does he mean? There's a place specifically designed to be punishment for the devil and then also his angels. And that also gives us an understanding that there's a class different than just humankind of interactive beings throughout all of this eternal creation. And these devil and his angels, this is a very interesting verse in Matthew chapter number 25. But as you keep reading through the stories of Jesus, Jesus tells this wonderful story. I guess I wouldn't say wonderful. It's wonderful that Jesus gave it to us, but it's a very, very intriguing story of a rich man and a poor man and how their life ended. Then it says that this rich man, who is unnamed, gets put in this place of torment, and this poor man, this beggar whose name is Lazarus, he dies on this earth, and then the Bible says that he was carried away by an angel, that the spirit of this man was carried away by an angel. So now we kind of have the soul of this man was carried away by an angel. So now we have this very interesting take about what angels can do. When a man dies, if Jesus is talking about what all angels do, which I think he is that when you die, your soul is going to go somewhere, heaven or hell, and the person that's transporting you to heaven or hell, the Bible indicates, is an angel. Now, folks, I'm not making this up. You go to the text and deal with it yourself. Then there's this very interesting passage that anybody who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ is transformed from death into life, into the from the army of darkness into the army of light. And then the Bible says, Paul writes to us in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, that he says that all of us, he says, don't you know all of those that are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are going to judge angels someday. He goes, you can't judge the smallest matters. Don't you know that someday you'll be judging angels? And as you're reading through the Bible, these are some of the intriguing passages about angels that talk about who they are, what they do, how they operate. And folks, it's a bigger deal than you think. Now, Paul warns us not to worship angels, but it's a part of our faith. It's a part of reality. It's a part of how God built this world out. These are some of the intriguing things about this group of beings that God created called angels. Now, I want to be careful. I want to ask Sam some questions, because when we get to this conversation about angels, sometimes people want to talk about there's these little angels that are shooting hearts at people, making them fall in love. There's these women angels that maybe are angels of light trying to trick you into something. There's all these kind of popular cultural understandings about angels that are not true. The number one thing being not true that they might want you to believe is that Jesus was an angel. But O-Line, talk about this. Is there a difference between the angels and Jesus? What does the Bible teach us about who Jesus is compared to the angels? Talk to us a little bit about some of the differences here and how we can look at the specific beings that are in creation.
Well, there are some antichrist religions out there who would try to say that Jesus is an angel or an archangel. But Jesus, actually, the Bible says that he created the angels. In the book of Colossians, in verse 16 of chapter 1 of Colossians, for by him, that's Jesus, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. And so this is the testimony of Scripture that Jesus is not an angel. He created the angels. And so that's a point of clarity. However, Satan, who is another big player in the heavenly realm as well as in the earthly realm, Satan is an angel. The Bible teaches in Ezekiel 28 that he was a guardian cherub, an anointed guardian cherub in the presence of God before sin was found in him. And so we recognize that Satan is an angel. Pastor Anthony mentioned just earlier that hell was created for the devil and his angels. Right. It teaches us in Revelation chapter 12 that Satan, when he fell, he actually swept away with him a third of God's angels through deception, through drawing them away after his own plan. And I think one of the depths, the mysteries of Scripture is this whole formation or origin of Satan and his rebellion against God. It has a lot to do with God's plan for mankind. Young Lion mentioned that we will judge angels. I think this plan of God for us, even though we're lowly, God created us for a little while lower than the angels. God's plan was for us to be elevated above them. They are ministering spirits, servants sent out in behalf of those of us who are to receive salvation. So there's this plan of God that elevates humankind, lowly man, above the angels. And I think this is the foundational starting point of the rebellion of Satan and his angels against God, and we're going to get into that a little bit more.
And I love that you give the disparity there. I'd like to ask you a question, Old Line, because Paul, when he's writing in the book of Acts, he says he is owned by this angel of God. And so is there the angel of the Lord? This is a common thing that people want to talk about throughout the Bible. Kind of there's a character almost that even though you're telling me Jesus is not an angel, there's scriptural evidence that of course he's not an angel. We kind of attribute this maybe most powerful understanding of the angel of God. Give us the difference between the angel of God and an angel of God, and maybe help the people understand, even though Jesus is not a created being, he sometimes gets the moniker of the angel of God.
Yes, indeed. You see this person showing up probably 25 or 30 times in your Old Testament, and he's called the angel of the Lord. And he's doing amazing things. He's working wonders. He receives worship. And so this character, this mysterious character that we see showing up so many times in the Old Testament, is Jesus. And so he receives worship. We know that he's divine. He's not just a regular angel. And then you see places where an angel shows up, especially when we see in the story of the New Testament where the archangel Gabriel, who is a messenger angel, comes from God to bring this message to Mary, saying that she will be the mother of this virgin-born Son of God. This is an example of an angel coming.
So we get this when the Apostle John gets called up to heaven. He sees an angel and he falls down to worship and he says, no, do not worship me. But Oline, give the people a little snippet about this story in the Old Testament surrounding Samson's parents. And I think this is one of your favorite stories. If you're part of ECBC, our local church, you know this is one of Elder Sam's favorite stories. Tell us a little bit about this angel that shows up to them and give us a difference between an angel that says, don't worship me, and an angel that does receive worship.
Yes. So here the Son of God comes and he appears to Samson's mother and gives her instructions about this coming child. And then finally, this same man appears to both the woman and her husband. They go and bring an offering to him and they say, hold on here, we want to bring you an offering. And so while they're preparing the offering, the Bible says that this being, the angel of the Lord, worked wonders as they looked on. And so they prepared this offering. The angel of the Lord went up in fire back to heaven as they worshiped. And then right after that, Manoah said, well, we're doomed. We're going to die because we've seen God face to face. And his wife said, I don't think so. I don't think he would have appeared to us and told us all these things if he meant to kill us. Her wisdom prevailed in that situation, obviously. But this is an example of the Lord Jesus himself appearing as the angel of the Lord.
Tell us about when they ask this angel what his name is. I think this is, to me, you get to find these revealed things in Scripture as you're digging through. Hey, folks, this is one of the check. This is you're getting checked. If you're listening, you need to get checked about this right now. You need to get into your Bible and stop reading verse of the day and start discovering the great things that God has in the depth of Scripture. He says, let the Word of God dwell in you richly, that we ought to dig and find these great things. Give them this insight that we don't get right on the initial part of the story, but we find out later.
So Manoah, Samson's dad, says to the angel of the Lord, says, hey, tell us your name so that after all these things that you've said come to pass, we can honor you. And this is what the response is from Jesus. He says, why is it that you ask my name, seeing that it is wonderful? And so then if you turn in your Bible a few pages to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, it says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful.
I love this.
And so you see this little secret clue, you see him receiving worship, you see his name being called Wonderful. This is, folks, the Son of God. So you have to differentiate as you're reading through your Bible, an angel from the angel of the Lord.
And Hebrews 1 gives us a complete like separation between the two. So if you go read Hebrews chapter 1, he'll say, I have not said to any of the angels that these are one of my unique sons. And so he kind of puts that out. So when you hear unto him, a son is given and his name shall be called Wonderful, your mind should go to Hebrews 1 as a separation from Jesus and the angels, as well as a connection to the story of Samson saying that his name is Wonderful. Okay. All right. So we want to establish the fact that Jesus is the creator, not a creation. No. Satan is a creation, not the creator.
Yep.
So now tell us, once we kind of separate those two things out, just to deal with all these heresies that are flying around sometimes. Now, Old Line, tell us, what is an angel? What are they? What's happening here?
So think of this. If you've watched National Geographic or Discovery Channel or whatever, and you see these films that they make on the Serengeti of Africa, and you see all these creatures that God has made throughout the world in different climates and different areas, the world is full of diversity. We see that this is part of the nature of God, this world that he's made. He's made birds and all kinds of flying creatures and insects and all kinds of mammals and farm animals and wild animals. There's a huge diversity of creatures that are on our planet. As it is in heaven, so also on the earth. So we need to understand that in heaven, there's a diversity of heavenly beings. There's cherubim, seraphim, archangels, angels, ministering spirits. There's a hierarchy of these creatures as well as different variety. You read about in Isaiah chapter 6 and Ezekiel chapter 1 and Revelation chapter 4, you read about some of these creatures, a lot of similarities between them, but some of the most amazing creatures that God has made. We got to get off of this idea where we see us being in heaven, we're just sitting on a cloud playing a harp. You have to understand that there is more to this heavenly realm that we can't even see is even more diverse, even more glorious, even more wonderful than anything you've ever seen here on earth.
Well, these are some of the things that the Bible kind of describes what they are. Give us the converse of that. What would you kind of put towards someone when they're considering angels and we kind of think of the touched by an angel, or we think of all these God send me an angel, you know, these love songs from the 90s, okay? So when you hear an old couple in the senior citizen home saying my angel, you know, they're calling their wife this. Now, what are angel, what are they not? You told us a little about what they are. Tell us a little about what they're not.
Well, here's something that is true. The Bible does say in Hebrews chapter 13 that some of us believers have entertained angels.
Oh, right.
Unawares. So these angels who are spiritual beings, they are able to incorporate and show up on the scene. And, right. and you may have entertained somebody who was an angel. They just came along, were there, did a service, disappeared, never saw them again. It was this mysterious thing. And I think all of us have those stories where we kind of scratch our head and wonder, hey, was this possibly an angel? But right. I want you to know that When you see actual angels described in the scripture, there's never one time where an angel is described as a female.
That's right.
They're all described as being male. I'm not saying that there's no such thing, but you see depicted in men's art and imaginations, you see these depictions and these pictures of female angels. And I'm just saying you don't really have any scripture that supports that. The other thing that you see in art, particularly from the Middle Ages, you see these little babies with these kind of 2-inch wings sticking sure. out the back, and they're called these cherubim. Let me tell you, you see a heavenly angel, what usually happens in the Bible when that happens is people immediately fall on their face. Nobody's falling on their face in front of this little cherubic little 1-year-old baby. This is a myth. It's not something that is characterized in Scripture. Angels are fearsome, powerful creatures. They're greater in power, greater in dignity than we are. And sometimes people go off in visions about things that they've never even seen.
And we all kind of have thoughts about angels in general. It's always maybe something that piques just the humankind. But then let's take all these thoughts that we've had and we've talked about so far, Old Lion, and let's just go to the book of Genesis. Why don't you quickly give us this? We kind of have a structure of Genesis 3, Genesis 6, Genesis 11. And I want you just to give us the first, this book of Genesis is, we can almost root all of our doctrine, all of our truth, everything that's in the rest of the Bible is found somewhere rooted in the book of Genesis. It's a masterfully written book, inspired by the Holy Spirit, penned by Moses, given to us by God. Give us some insight from these three passages about how Genesis describes our interaction with angels.
Right. Well, we see actually three incursions, if you will, of angelic beings into the earth. And, you know, Pastor Anthony mentioned earlier the devil and his angels. We mentioned in Revelation 12 how a third of God's angels followed Satan in his rebellion. So we see this rebellion is being played out not only in the heavenly realms, but also on the earth. And so we see where Satan as an angel actually tempted Adam and Eve in the garden, got them to fall into sin. So that was the first incursion, Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 6, you see it described where during the days of Jared, the watchers, these heavenly beings, these angelic watchers, and just as a side note, there are angelic watchers that are described in Scripture in Genesis chapter 6, in Daniel chapter 4. We see these watchers. And so there are couriers, angelic couriers who are sent from heaven to watch what's happening and to report back and what's happening among the sons of men. We see this happening where God sent the angels to Sodom and Gomorrah to see if the outcry that had come up to him was actually true. Mm. And so there, these watchers exist in the heavenly realms who are watching what's happening on earth. But we find out in Genesis 6 that these watchers saw that the daughters of men were fair, and they took to wife such of them as they chose. They bore children by them, and we have these Nephilim, these fallen ones, these giants that were in the earth that were the result of this improper mating between heavenly beings and earthly beings. And so this is a real thing. This is where your Goliath, who David fought, he was a descendant of these giants, of these Nephilim. This was the second incursion, and God dealt with this partially through the flood of Noah, where he actually flooded the entire world to exterminate this race of Nephilim and giants. The third incursion was the Tower of Babel.
Right.
And we see that the men who were creating this tower were trying to create a portal into the heavenly realms, and God confused their languages. He broke their languages into about 70 different groupings, as we read in Genesis chapter 10. And the Bible says this, it's interesting, in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 8, that when God divided up the nations, he broke them according to the number of the sons of God. So there were actually these principality spirits that were put in charge of these national language groupings of people. And then we find out in Daniel chapter 10 later on, it talks about the prince of Persia that this angel Gabriel is doing battle with in the heavens. And Michael, the archangel, comes to relieve him, and then the prince of Greece is going to come. So you see this warring in the heavenly realms of these good and bad angels in the second heaven.
So over these three kind of incursions, it reveals to us that there's kind of a spiritual, supernatural battle that's happening above the world of men. And so are people protected? Do people have these guardian angels that we see, Old Lion? Is there, when someone says there's a guy that showed up, I never saw him again, he helped me through the situation. Does the supernatural battle that's above us ever make its way down into our realm? And are there people watching over us? Do we enter into that supernatural battle? What say you?
Well, God says clearly that the angels, their primary role is to help those who are to inherit salvation. This is why they're around. And so God does send them on mission. In fact, the Bible says that our prayers, when Daniel humbled himself and got himself set to pray and to fast, immediately angels were dispatched to go and answer his prayer. And so our prayers, the way we're able to have an impact on that warfare is going on in the heavenly realms, is primarily through our prayers. But the Bible also says, as you read earlier, each little child has a guardian angel.
Yeah, so we have this interesting take, same from the same book of Matthew. In one story, Jesus says that take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels, the little ones' angels, do always behold the face of the Father. So if we have little, if the little ones have an angel, and when you die, you have an angel that's carrying you away, there is some credence. I'm not going to tell you for sure that there's a quote-unquote guardian angel, but you have some credence that there is ministers from God that are helping out those to find who Jesus Christ is and then guide them into a life where they ought to serve Jesus Christ. And here's the last thing that I want to give before us. There's so much in the Bible about what we're learning about the supernatural world that we cannot see, that we have to take on faith. We can let our imagination go so far, but the Bible teaches us not to go above that which is written, but it also says don't go below that which is written. We got to stick to what the Bible teaches about this. And I want to be very clear about this last point. The Bible teaches in the book of Revelation that every single godly church, every single actual church, every single actually ordained church whose head is Jesus Christ has an angel. The Bible says the angel of this church, the angel of that church. Don't let these recent men that want to reframe what this is actually teaching be something about some kind of this or that. This is an angel that the Bible is teaching that is over or representative in heaven of your church, of the church that you go to. What that means is a couple of things. One is that you have an angel that's watching over your community of faith. Number two, that means you have someone that's reporting to God. You have someone reporting to God some of the actions that are happening at your church. And number three, what that means is that you are involved in a supernatural spiritual battle. Your life is not just eat, drink, and be merry, but rather that you ought to press into the kingdom of God. Now, the story of angels is great and large, and there's so much more that we're going to learn about it in the afterlife, but this, we wanted to give you what we could today to go search it out on your own. Now, we're not a show that gets into the sports world or gets into the world of politics or jumps into what's happening around the world in fashion. We're a show that wants to dig into the word of God, proclaim it boldly. We believe that we did that today, and we hope that you'll stick with us.
And we'll see you in church.